Ontario recently introduced Bill 89, called the Supporting Children, Youth, Families Act, which kind of governs how foster agencies, child services, judges, and so on and so forth take into account how they intervene when a child's at risk. So recently they've decided to add in, or they're proposing to add in language, which includes gender identity and gender expression when they're deciding what when to intervene with a child. So for example, a child who's suffering or at risk of suffering mental or emotional harm and whose parents do not provide treatment or access to treatment is what would be deemed as a child in need of protection under mm-hmm. this law. A lot of parents are concerned because recently our Ontario Minister of Children and Youth Services said, and I quote, "I would consider that a form of abuse when a child identifies one way and a caregiver saying, no, you need to do this differently."
Yeah, well, the big issue there is, in principle, when is a child a reasonable determinant of the direction of their identity? And the answer to that is, don't do anything hasty until the child's an adult. That's my sense of it. That's the same position that Ken Zucker held with such things. Is, you know, you can make a case perhaps that a child as young as 3 years old knows what his or her gender identity should be, but I don't buy that. It's very difficult to tell what's going on with young children, especially because they're engaged in fantasy play a tremendous amount of the time. And we're in a situation right now where there's so much political noise around the idea of gender identity that your certainty that decisions will be taken on the behalf of your children that are actually in the best interest of the children rather than having them be treated as a pawn in some sort of larger political game is very, very low. I don't think that children's best interests are being put forward by policies such as this. It's a mistake. And we're going to pay for it in a big way because we're moving very rapidly to a point where radical interventions like puberty-blocking hormones, for example, or even surgical interventions are being implemented on younger and younger people, and that's permanent. So, you know, Ken Zucker's work has showed quite clearly that most kids who have gender identity issues settle into their biological identity, the identity with their biological body by the time they're adults. A fair number of them end up gay, but it's better to leave the drastic interventions until the child's an adult, as far as I'm concerned. And caution should be the byword. Now, you could say, well, that's rough because the child already knows if he's a boy that he's actually a girl or vice versa. But we don't allow children to make decisions like that with many other things that are relevant and important to them. And I think that the argument that you're protecting them more by delaying than hurting them is a very, very powerful argument. I don't trust the other argument. I don't trust the people who are making it. I think they care about the political agenda and they're perfectly willing to sacrifice children to it. And of course, my rule of thumb is, when in doubt, go with the traditional categories, because at least we know that the traditional categories have some function and some utility. And these new categories, we have no idea how they're going to play out or how many people actually fall into them or what their actual social roles will be. And you're not helping kids by radically confusing them about the identities that they might adopt. Not in my estimation. I don't think that's freedom. I think it's confusion. So,
Bill 89 passed second reading without a single vote of dissent. Many people, however, have been writing to their MPP and asking them to vote against Bill 89. Mm-hmm. Do you think that elected officials have more of a responsibility to speak out?
I think the conservative officials are afraid. I know they are because I've talked to lots of conservative people and also to people who are running for the conservative leadership, and they all say the same thing, which is that the individual MPs and MLAs or MPPs are afraid to be, you know, pinpointed as individuals who are bigoted or phobic, to use that horrible terminology. And so they won't vote the way that they would be inclined to if they weren't afraid of being hounded and targeted. And I think that's reprehensible as well, because if you're going to be an elected official, one of your duties is to take the heat for your beliefs. If you can't do it, well, especially if you're conservative and you can't do it, then you might as well just fold up your tent and go home. Because if you've decided that everything you think is now sufficient to target you as reprehensible or deplorable, then your what you stand for is already done with. You're done. And yeah, I see that happening very often with conservative people. And, you know, they have a legitimate point of view. It's not the only point of view, obviously, but it's a legitimate point of view. But if your elected officials can't even act out the doctrines that they claim to adhere to, then the whole thing is over. So it's like parents. If you don't agree, then don't act out things you don't agree with. It's as simple as that. It's a form of deceit. It's a lie. It's a sacrifice of your soul. You think, well, I don't want to be hassled about it. It's like, okay, well, back off and abandon your beliefs and see how far you get. See where you end up if you do that. You see, one of the things people don't understand is that often in life, you have a choice between two terrible alternatives. There isn't a good route. Lots of times, it's risk A or risk B. That's all you've got. You don't have happy, moving forward easily route. That isn't there. And so you can either pay the price for standing up for what you believe in, or you can pay the price for not standing up for what you believe in. And I think that the second price is much higher. The problem is it takes longer to kick in. So, you know, if you stand up and voice your opposition or act out your opposition, which I would say sometimes is even more effective, then you have to take heat right away. And people are very conflict avoidant, unbelievably conflict avoidant, and so they're willing to forestall the trouble into the future. But it's going to be, the more people back off, the more trouble they're storing up for the future. It's as simple as that. So decide, do you want a fair bit of trouble now or even more trouble later? That's it. That's your choice. For the MPPs, for the parents who don't agree with these sorts of things, what does it mean if you don't agree, if you don't stop going along with it? You agree if you go along with it. You can flail about all you want and say that you don't agree. If you act it out, then you agree. It's as simple as that. And it's not, especially because we're kowtowing to a very small and radical minority of people who have disproportionate power at all sorts of levels of institutions and government. And if you're cowardly and you back off, well, then you get exactly what you deserve. So that's why democracy works to some degree. You get punished for your own stupidity.